Aging and Disease Prevention Radio is right here on Radio MD. Here's author, blogger, lecturer, and national medical media personality, Dr. Michael Smith, MD, with Healthy Talk.
So let's get into the top three benefits now of magnesium. We've covered that it's one of the body's most important minerals. We got to that. We know that from our last discussion with Dr. Goodman that it was in the 1930s that they, you know, basically made the statement that our soils were depleted of important minerals like magnesium, and not much has been done since then. So it's, you know, magnesium is important for hundreds of metabolic processes in the cells, the muscles, the nerves, the immune system. It goes on and on and on. And as I said, my guest is Dennis Goodman. He's the author of Magnificent Magnesium, Your Essential Key to a Healthy Heart and More. Very easy read, jam-packed of a lot of good information. Dr. Goodman, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Thanks, Mike.
So we could do a whole seminar, couldn't we?
Right,
weekend seminar on the benefits of magnesium. So out of your experience as a cardiologist, let's focus on what you've seen, what magnesium can do for people. And let's talk a little bit about those kind of benefits that heart patients get. So what do you think is the first benefit that you'd like to talk about?
Well, I think the first thing is it reduces your risk of cardiovascular disease, and that's heart attacks and strokes. And that includes risks like high blood pressure, diabetes. And just to give you an example, I've got tons of studies in Diabetes Care 2004. They showed that there was a significant inverse relationship between magnesium intake and diabetes. And it goes on and on. So the people with the lowest amount of magnesium levels have the highest risk. And I've given you some of the reasons. You pointed out there are at least 350 enzyme systems depending on magnesium, and our body can't make magnesium. You have to take it in. So I'd say heart disease and stroke, I'd say diabetes, I'd say high blood pressure for cardiovascular patients, and then I think it's very, very important, right, that your cells are functioning properly so that you can exercise properly. Obviously, if you've got muscle aches and you're fatigued, you don't get out and do the important things that you're supposed to do. We've shown that there's a reduced incidence of obesity in people that are not magnesium deficient. It goes on and on, and, you know, it all makes sense when you understand that it's absolutely vital for all cellular function. I want to tell you just an interesting anecdote because you like that. I've had terrible migraine headaches, and, you know, I'm a magnesium believer, and I take magnesium, but I had such migraines, I couldn't work one afternoon. I went to see a friend of mine, a holistic neurologist. I'm always trying the natural approach. That's my approach. And, you know, he gave me a gram of magnesium intravenously, and within 2 hours, my headache was gone. So, you know, well, I'm one of these people that I'm Western trained. I've got, you know, Eastern training, and there are a lot of people who are critical of stuff like this. They say, oh, well, I don't believe it because there aren't really good double-blind randomized studies. And what I've seen in my practice is that it works. When my headache went away after a gram of IV magnesium, I said, well, you know, how can you argue with that? Now, I'm not telling people to run and do that. I'm just saying that it's so important to understand that magnesium actually prevents calcium from going into cells unopposed. We know calcium causes contraction.
Right, right.
And in fact, there's a group of medications called calcium channel blockers. So magnesium is a natural way to take a calcium channel blocker. Now, let's be clear. I'm not saying magnesium treats and prevents everything. I'm just saying it's such a simple, inexpensive way to try to take care of so many potential problems.
It is.
And if you don't mind,
let's back up, though, because you said something really interesting. You mentioned it, and I run into this, Dr. Goodman, a lot myself, this idea that there aren't any good double-blind studies with vitamins and minerals, which we know is just not true. Maybe the studies haven't been reproduced, or maybe they're small, but there are studies. There's enough studies where people could be, turning some of this stuff into their practices. Magnesium alone, just go to PubMed. Type in magnesium.
Absolutely.
And type in any chronic disease you want. You're going to find some decent. So what are we not doing, Dr. Goodman, as physicians who do believe in vitamins, minerals? What are we not doing to educate?
Well, I'll tell you what's happening. A lot of the studies, you know, in Western medicine are associated with, you know, that vitamins are being used. They're being used very often in conjunction with other things. And it's really one of those situations that if you think about it, who are sponsoring big studies, these double-blind randomized studies? It's not the people making the vitamins. It's just too expensive. And so to do proper studies with vitamins is extremely difficult.
Yep,
and the type of, you know, the standards that we, you know, we set for trying to say whether a drug works or not. I mean, you look at statins that are very controversial, but yet there's tons of studies, right? And there's still people on both sides of the fence as to when they work and do they work. And clearly, we've got very good studies for secondary prevention when people already have heart disease. But in primary prevention, it's controversial. And yet there's tons of millions and zillions of dollars have put into that. Now, where are we going to find someone who's going to sponsor a proper double-blind magnesium study? But if you actually read my book, you'll see I've quoted almost every study I can find that shows that when you're magnesium deficient, those people do worse. And a lot of times they long-term follow-up studies. So we have this sort of anecdotal evidence that the lower your magnesium, the higher your risk of, right, of having problems. I think it's important to realize that you can check your magnesium level. You know, I think people should know that if you don't know whether you're magnesium deficient, the best test is a red blood cell magnesium level. And if it's below 5.5, I think that's suboptimal. And then you should supplement.
For the listeners, maybe you can explain the difference between the red blood cell magnesium and maybe a standard magnesium blood test that maybe they've gotten before.
Exactly. So if you say to your doctor, I want a magnesium level, he's probably going to order a serum magnesium. Only 1% of magnesium in the body is found, you know, in the serum. So you land up not being able to measure it properly. So you can have a normal serum magnesium level and be very magnesium deficient. Because it's the magnesium in the cells that we want to know. We want to know what's in the cells intracellular. It turns out red blood cell magnesium is a better marker and a much better association with magnesium real levels in the body. It's not perfect, and I have, as I said, I'm checking magnesium on all my patients, and I find, which is one of the things that's so, it's written about all over the place, and I was amazed to see it myself. 75% to 80% of people are deficient. So it's because,
it's
number one,
yeah,
they're not eating the kind of foods that take magnesium. And then sometimes, even when you are, I found some people saying, there's no chance I'm magnesium deficient because I'm eating all these vegetables, and I still find they're deficient. So
goes back to the 1936 story, right?
Totally. So I think what's important is it's something that we should know what your level is, or you should at least know that it can really help you and you don't want to be deficient. And my suggestion is if it is low and you aren't taking vegetables or you can't increase your intake or you don't increase your intake of these things that are important, then which are the leafy green vegetables and seeds and things like spinach, Swiss chard, soybeans. You know, a lot of people don't eat this stuff, sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds. My recommendation is that you take at least 3 milligrams per pound. And if you are severely deficient or you're very stressed, you take 5 milligrams. So it's easy to take 500 to 1,000 milligrams of magnesium. It's extremely well tolerated. We should make the point it's only in patients with renal failure or kidney problems that you have to be careful. So I always say talk to your doctor. And then I just want to say, you know, in terms of supplementing, you do have to be careful because some of the magnesium that you just buy has a tendency to cause loose stools or diarrhea, like the hydroxide forms. I mean, you've heard they're laxatives, right, with magnesium. So I use one called Jigsaw, which is a slow-release form that actually does, I haven't had problems with the loose stool story, and it's a slow release, and so you've got better absorption, less chance of having side effects. But, you know, the thing that I'm excited about, Mike, is that this is a simple way to correct so many problems and
ultimately
prevent some serious diseases.
Dr. Goodman, where can people purchase your book?
So you can get the book on Amazon.com, or you can get it at Barnes & Noble. I've got a website, DennisGoodmanMD.com, and you can get the links to that.
Yes. So the name of the book is Magnificent Magnesium, Your Essential Key to a Healthy Heart and More. You can get it on Amazon. Interesting, I asked Dr. Goodman to say 3 benefits, but I counted about 7 benefits that he likes from magnesium. Heart, blood pressure, muscle cramps, insomnia, stress, it goes on and on. Dr. Goodman, thank you so much for coming on. Great book, easy read. Listeners, go check it out. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.